Welcome to the Inside the Game podcast by Scorers for Sport Management. My name is Garrett Kerstentiele, and today I'm excited to have Rainer Meisterjahn on this episode. Rainer is the founder of Cortex Performance. He currently lives in the United States in Milwaukee and works as a mental trainer with teams and players in the NBA as well as the international game. I have known Rainer for 6 years now, and it has been exciting to follow his journey in professional basketball and the success that he's had. And he's sharing some of his work, some of his experiences with us in the upcoming episode. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Have fun. All right, so welcome to the Inside the Game podcast by Scorers First. And today I'm excited to have Rainer Meisterjahn of Cortex Performance as our guest. Hello, Rainer.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem. We finally get to do this. I know we've been talking about it for a long time. So
that's right. So finally on the podcast, and good to catch up again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rainer. I mean, obviously you and I have known each other for a while and have been working together. If I'm not mistaken, we actually met for the first time in Orlando 2014 at the NBA Summer League. Do you still remember that?
I do, actually. I do. Yeah. I was out there with Chris Enslinger, actually, just through some networking, and he introduced us. And yeah, it's crazy. It's been 6 years, I guess.
Yeah, it's almost 6 years. It's been a long time since. A lot of stuff has happened since. And and it's been interesting to follow your work and everything that you have done throughout those years. And some people in the basketball world might already know a little bit about you, but maybe you can give them a quick intro on who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I run a company called Cortex Performance, as you mentioned, and we offer mental performance training for basketball players at the pro level primarily. We also do a lot of coaching education, NBA pre-draft assessment, interviewing for organizations. And then I also consult with teams from time to time. So in the BBL, I've also done some stuff in the NBA. And overall, it's just a mix, but the primary focus is on individual basketball clients at the pro level and at times at the college level right now.
Okay, and how did you get into that? Has that been a long-time dream of yours early on? How did that desire to work with athletes on their mental side, on their mental game, how did that develop? How did you get started with that?
It probably started back when I was in undergrad getting my bachelor's degree. So I came over to the U.S. from Germany, spent 3 years at a small university in Maine, and was a psychology major out there. And one semester they offered a sports psych elective, and that's when I think I probably had my first formal introduction to sports psychology and started realizing that I could actually combine my two passions in psychology and athletics and basketball specifically. And from there I eventually went back to Germany, played for a year, did some youth coaching. Mm-hmm. And then came back to the States, earned my master's degree in counseling psychology initially, and then realized that I really wanted to focus more heavily on performance psychology, though. So, from there, I ended up at the University of Tennessee, earned my PhD in kinesiology with a sports psych specialization, and then a couple of years later, basically started my business.
Okay. And with no disrespect to your university in Maine, but once you get to Tennessee, you have a higher level of athletes there. Did that spark that interest as well more, or just the opportunity to work with other athletes?
It really did.
At a different level?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, when I was in Maine, a small school, it was so small that, I had an opportunity to play there, and I was a very mediocre player, but nonetheless, we had a good team, had an opportunity to gain some experience and play with a few guys actually that had come from the Division I level. But when I eventually ended up at Tennessee, I mean, that's a whole different world at that level. SEC basketball, I guess you get some of the best of the best. And at the time, I had an opportunity to attend a number of practices. Bruce Burrow was the coach on the men's side at first, and then Konza Martin came in. And then I also had a chance to go to a number of Pat Summit's practices and you know, get to know several players on both sides too, do some academic mentoring, get out on the court. For a while, I was actually scrimmage player for the women's basketball team during the off season.
Okay.
So that was pretty neat, you know, just scrimmaging against a number of future WNBA players. And then on the men's side, had opportunity to just really build some great connections. Got to know Tobias Harris pretty well, and he of course eventually was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks, or rather by the Bobcats at the time. You know, but he ended up on, you know, in a trade, he ended up essentially going to Milwaukee from there. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sparked my move to come up to Milwaukee and kind of start looking at the NBA as well.
Okay, great. And the opportunity to work with players at a higher level, like, has that been easy to connect? Has that been something that was, you do that at Tennessee and getting in front of them, getting the opportunity to speak and the players being open-minded about that? Was that easy, or how did that develop?
It definitely wasn't easy. It was very hard. And over the years, I've talked to a number of students that have wanted to do what I've been able to do. And most just don't have the patience to stick with it. I mean, it mm-hmm. takes a lot of time. You got to invest in the front end to build genuine relationships. You got to get creative about how you get in front of people. You know, with Tobias, for instance, he and I never started out, you know, doing mental performance training. Initially, we did some stuff academically. From there, I eventually started training him on the court. Mm-hmm. Actually, before I did that, I used to just rebound for him, you know, after he got drafted, the NBA at the lockout, and he ended up staying down in Tennessee. And then Dale Ellis would come up from Atlanta. Dale is a Tennessee guy. Some people might remember him from his time in the NBA with the Supersonics back in the day. And so mm-hmm. Dale would train him. And, you know, I asked Tobias if it'd be cool if I came out to watch the workouts and stuff. And so I'd be in the gym with them at like 6 a.m. and they needed a rebounder. So I stepped right in there, you know, would rebound for him, just tried to give him a hand. And from there, just kept building the relationship to where eventually Tobias gave me an opportunity to work him out in the court. And so that's just one of many stories as far as how I kind of got my foot in the door and built those relationships. So it's hard. It's definitely tough, and it takes a long time before you understand how to really truly connect with players at the highest level and communicate the importance of the mental game to them in a way that resonates and doesn't just, you know, come off as a bunch of psychobabble.
Right. I mean, and you know, mental health has become more of a topic that has been in the media and that people are outspoken about, but it's not. But I see it with our own clients or people that we talk to. Sometimes it's fairly easy because you can quickly say, oh, it's not that you have a problem, but this is something, if you do it right, it can help you with your performance. If you understand the resource of, you call it, own your mental game. Mm-hmm. If you do that and if you use that as a player, as an athlete, it just gives you another level in your performance. So you go from working on academics to rebounding, and now you work with several NBA teams, NBA players, international pros, and you already said building relationships has been a big part of that, and then we mentioned Orlando. How have you seen the development with all of that with your own company? Like, what have been the key things for you there to do that?
I think honestly it starts with just, you know, providing value to people. I mean, just building a network like you have too. And to me, the key has always been to, you know, when I'd reach out to folks, not merely just ask for something, but to really, you know, show a genuine interest in learning and then try to offer something in return, you know, try to share my resources, you know, offer to help in different ways. So that's been very fundamental to getting to this point. And the process also just really understanding who I am, you know, what my company stands for, and how we want to be different, right? So, and I mean, in some ways, it's a lifelong process, mm-hmm. trying to figure that out. But you know, you just build it one relationship at a time, one opportunity at a time, And again, as far as like getting in and establishing opportunities and establishing relationships, you got to be creative. So I remember, you know, like I've been wanting to get into the NBA for a long time. Initially started out, had a chance to get in with the Bucks, you know, just for a short while during the NBA pre-draft back in 2013. You know, so they gave me a chance. I came in, they did it for free basically, but they gave me an opportunity to run some pre-draft interviews, do some personality assessment, and things of that nature. Now, that didn't, you know, lead to me getting an opportunity to work with roster players directly. And, you know, so it was tough to establish good momentum despite good feedback on the things I'd done. So then I just kept thinking about, you know, creative ways to establish some momentum for myself. You know, and I just couldn't get an NBA team to, you know, give me a chance to come in there and directly work with players or coaches or anything like that. So then I eventually got in touch with the Washington Wizards, and the assistant GM, Tommy Shepard at the time, who's now the GM, he gave me a chance to write some reports for the organization where I just look at on-court body language for players, and then just give them some feedback on what I saw out there and provide some mental training recommendations and things of that nature. And from there, I started doing some stuff around the NBA pre-draft as far as assessment and interviewing before I then had a chance to do some actual hands-on mental training in Utah and then especially in Miami last year. So you know, it's just a long process where you just got to get creative and do a whole bunch of shit, you know, that you know, you might not be as excited about it as the thing you ultimately want to do, but, you know, that's just how that goes.
Well, I think, you know, it's persistence, it's, you know, hard work, and then it takes time, and you've got to keep doing, you know, and work on it. If I think when people see what you're doing now and they read about it and they see the NBA and they see that stuff, people think, oh, that's what I want to do. That's easy to get there, but it's not. And the times where, you know, you sit at home and you prepare stuff for these teams because you want to be ready for that moment when somebody opens that door or answers the call, you want to be ready. And I see it from your work with our own clients. You always come up with new stuff, game analysis, things of that nature that help players and that I believe add value to the players, but also to the clubs that they eventually play for. Is that something that you can talk about a little more, like the things you guys do when it comes to that, working with players and how you work with them?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the most important thing for folks to understand is that it's a proactive approach. So, you know, most people and, you know, most players and coaches as well, I think their idea of mental training is that it's something that you go to when you're struggling. You know, when you're struggling with confidence, you're in a shooting slump, you know, there's some internal conflict within the team, you know, things of that nature. And that very well might be a starting point a lot of the time, but really what we look to do with our clients is to be proactive about integrating mental training in the player development process and, you know, doing that consistently, even when the player is performing at a high level. You know, and so with my you know, higher level clients, it's typically a combination of weekly consultations where we jump on FaceTime or the phone or something and talk about mental skills to integrate into their performance and making adjustments and things of that nature. And we combine that with video analysis. So looking at what a player's core values are and, you know, how they translate those on the basketball floor. And so that's been very instrumental in our approach, you know, because again, it is proactive. Mm-hmm. It gives the player a process to follow, as opposed to just waiting till the next time they're in a hole and then we get on the call. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense, and I actually think that's the one thing is how to get out of a slump or out of a difficult time, but to help yourself to not even get into it or, you know, have those cues that you need to put yourself in the right mindset. I think that's something where you can help so much. And if players are open to that, that can, like I said before, can be a real asset to them. in your work with NBA teams and NBA players, is there you work with some interesting clubs with you know, great names. When you work with the Miami Heat, you have Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, you have these other clubs that you've worked with. Is there any story that stood out that impressed you the most from an NBA team that you just didn't expect? Or when it comes to leadership, when it comes to performance, anything special that comes to mind that you can share?
Generally speaking, I'd say one thing that's really stood out, and I've been fortunate, I should say, to be able to get in with some really great organizations that are probably different from your average NBA organizations. So, namely Utah and Miami the last couple of years. So, one thing that's really stood out with Utah, I would say, is just their level of organization down to every last detail. Mm. You know, and I think a lot of folks don't really understand how complex NBA organizations are and how many departments and how many staff members you have to coordinate in order to provide a great service, not only to the players, but really to the whole ecosystem, including, you know, coaches, everybody that's around the players, you know, the families as well. And that's where I think Utah does an outstanding job of being extremely detail-oriented. You know, they have great collaboration throughout the organization, great leadership up top. Mm. You know, starting with ownership, and then an excellent front office with Dennis Lindsay, Justin Zanuck, David Morway, you know, and then they have a brilliant head coach in Quinn Snyder as well. So, but again, like, what's been most impressive is not just the individuals that they have there, but how everybody, you know, coordinates their services, right? Because it's a lot different from, you know, like German BBL teams, right? Where, you know, you have maybe one sports director, you have a head coach and maybe one or two assistant coaches and maybe a couple of additional staff members, and that's it. You know, in the NBA, you might have 10 times as many people on staff.
Right.
So, so that's been cool. I think with Miami is one of the smaller organizations in the league, so they don't have nearly as many people there in terms of staff, but you know, that organization is just known to just be a bunch of grinders. You know, they work hard. I think that they have smart people in place, you know, curious people. Spo is a very curious head coach, you know, kind of a lifelong learner that doesn't rest on having won a couple of championships, and that's been really cool to see. And same with the rest of the coaching staff. And then of course with Coach Riley at the top of the organization, you know, he's done a tremendous job of just, you know, creating a culture that has sustainability, you know, and really, like, it's been funny, like, you know, because of COVID and like being stuck at home, I've had a chance to watch a number of games on like NBA, like hardwood classics. Mm-hmm. So just looking back at, like, you know, 2006 NBA finals, you know, 2012, 13, whatever, you know, all those years, you see like the same people on the bench that I'm seeing now, you know,
right?
When I'm down in Miami, and folks have maybe moved from, you know, from the bench to the front office or vice versa, you know, but that's an organization that's all about loyalty and building continuity by holding on to people and trusting their own process, as opposed to, you know, just quitting on it as soon as something goes wrong. I mean, too many organizations just fire people too quickly, and in most cases probably just don't get the hiring right, and that's why they're firing people so quick too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. You've worked with some of these clubs on the NBA draft, helping them prepare and work with players there, and without getting into any specifics, but obviously every year there are many international players from the US also who are trying to, you know, get their NBA workouts. And what would be your advice as far as these interviews and going into a workout? What should they be prepared for, and how should they tackle a workout with an NBA team? What would be like your top three things that they should look out for or should be prepared for?
And first of all, you got to be ready for just the grind of it, because, you know, most players that travel from one workout to the next, and they'll squeeze in as many as they can in that short period of time. So you might be in like LA today, and then you gotta, you know, travel back to the East Coast tomorrow, and you might have to, you know, work out for a team on like limited hours of sleep. You walk in there, you don't know anybody. And essentially it is a job interview, right? So obviously you're concerned with looking your best, right? But so managing your energy and managing your schedule and your time along with your agent, you know, that's I think that's the biggest deal logistically, you know. And then beyond that, I think you got to go in, you got to, you know, obviously you got to go hard. Everything you do, you got to go hard. Ideally, you want to show a level of curiosity. You know, that might be your only time in your life that you get a chance to step in front of, you know, someone like Pat Riley. So they'll throw a bunch of questions at you, right? Like they're trying to test you in different ways. So have your own questions ready. Look at it as an opportunity for growth rather than just a strict job interview, you know?
And do you think it's more about saying the honest thing, or is it about saying the right thing? How do you feel about that?
I think it's about saying the honest thing, really, you know, because these organizations, they do so much homework on these players. Yeah. I mean, they know players inside and out, you know, they've studied film, they've talked to folks that are around the player, family, former coaches, right? So they already know a lot about the player. And, you know, and they can sniff out bullshit too, right? So if you're trying to like game them in different ways, they're going to pick up on that. So I think you go in, you got to be honest. They don't expect you to be perfect. You know, they just, I think that the players that have made the strongest impressions on teams, in my opinion, in my experience, have been the ones that come in and are authentic. They know themselves. They can speak to, you know, what they're good at, what they struggle with. It's really about demonstrating self-awareness, right? And on top of that, also demonstrating awareness about the organization. I mean, I think one of the funniest things that I've probably come across is just like realizing how little most of these guys know about the teams that they're interviewing with. And what they do know about the organizations is typically based on their experience playing NBA 2K, you know, as far as their roster and stuff. So.
Wow. But I think those are important points. You know, being honest, I think, gets you far, and NBA teams do their homework, so they know what they're dealing with, and kind of giving them an answer that is BS, they will know that very quickly. And being open-minded is big. And also, I think it's important that a player knows, they already know your weaknesses on the court and probably some off the court as well. So if you show them you know where they are, that you are willing to work on them, I think that goes a long way, because that shows a commitment to what, where you want to be a pro. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable insight. Obviously, we are in the midst of the corona crisis. Is that something that has come up when you have been speaking with athletes lately, dealing with that and what to do?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, for a lot of guys, it's just a matter of like figuring out, you know, how to just kind of use their time wisely right now. You know, no one knows if the season's going to start back up again. No one knows if next season might be pushed back. There are going to be a lot of changes within clubs as far as budget and different things. So a lot of unknowns, basically. And it's obviously, it's heavy. I think it's a bit depressing for a lot of players, but at the same time, it's a matter of figuring out how can we take advantage of all this extra time we have right now. You know, gyms are closed for the most part, but you know, just finding ways to keep in shape at home, using it as an opportunity to study up on things that you don't usually take the time to study up on. So with one of my NBA clients right now, I've been just sending him film of players from before his time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some of us forget how young these guys are, but you know, you send him film like Reggie Miller or Scottie Pippen or someone like that, and they don't remember those guys.
That's right. That's right. Well, That's where we notice how old we are. So
exactly.
That's how it is. But, you know, and then I think that's also, and again, I see that when you work with our clients, like the things that sometimes we might take for granted, structuring your day. Have you done this? Are you putting attention to this or that? That's something where a lot of things can be very helpful. And eventually they get our clients closer to their dreams. And that's where I think a lot of value comes in. So, yeah, I mean, you have a great team of guys working with you as well. So, you know, always appreciate you guys working with our guys and adding to our events. You've been in Vegas with us for the Scorers First Showcase. So that has been great. And I'm glad we had the chance to talk here today and hope our listeners will take some valuable feedback from this as well, or information. And thank you. And is there anything else you would like to kind of mention, talk about from your end?
No, I think that's really it. I appreciate the time. You know, we can really do this anytime you want. And, you know, if folks have any questions, if this is a topic that's of interest to people, they're welcome to reach out via my website or you know, you're welcome to pass on my email as well. The website is cortexperformance.com, Cortex, C-O-U-R-T-E-X, performance.com. And I'm always happy to provide ideas, answer questions, and help out if I can, because I know it's an area that a lot of folks just don't really know that much about.
Yeah, and there's no need to be afraid to reach out about this. So I encourage all of you to get in touch with Reiner, and we'll have his contact information in the notes to this podcast as well. So, yeah. Okay. So I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for your time, Reiner, and have a great rest of your day. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's show. I hope you enjoyed this chat with Reiner, and if you want to get in touch with him, please don't hesitate to reach out. He is definitely open and would love to hear from you. His contact information will also be in the notes to this podcast. And of course, I would also love your feedback, thoughts on the podcast, things you would like to hear more about. So yeah, just reach out. And we hope you enjoyed this, and we hope you will be coming back to our next podcast. All right, stay safe, have a great day. Thanks for listening.